All right, Doug Carr, Scott Anderson, 97.1 The Ticket. Lions 52-6 over Jacksonville. 9-1 start to this season. What do you like most? What development here this season do you like most? And Gator, I got to tell you, for me, it's the secondary. This secondary, we'll start with this. They're making plays. I mean, Kirby Joseph with the 7 picks. I'm pretty sure there's 2 Brian Branches on the field at every given time because he's everywhere. They're punishing people. Like, they are punishing people. You think about there were some vicious hits. Branch lit up Ingram. You had Amik Robertson come up from the secondary and submarine a guy on a vicious hit. Kirby Joseph had a huge hit and an interception. This secondary, we had hopes that they would be improved. They're really good. They're really good back there. Tyrion Arnold is getting better, and Carlton Davis has been a heck of an addition. They've got to be thinking about, can they keep him? Are they going to try and keep him? It's been amazing to watch the turnaround in a year. That was the one position group that they went full-scale rehaul.
Yeah, I would I'll narrow it a little bit more. I'm just going to – I'll say this. It's the safeties. I think you can make a case with just about anywhere on the field with this team why you would like what you like, because they've been so good. And then after a game like yesterday, where just domination from start to finish, you're not wrong. But for the season, it is the secondary. It's seeing the growth of these guys. You know, Kirby Joseph, we knew at Illinois that he was a bit of a ball hawk. He was a guy that had a lot of turnovers. But we didn't know if he was going to be that guy that could stay healthy, support the run defense and all that. And he has. He's comfortable back there. He knows what he can do. You know, that tackle he made yesterday where he just shot through and made the tackle on it was 3rd and short, forcing Jacksonville into a punting situation, was brilliant. And Brian Branch, we've talked about him for a few weeks now, where we think he's the best safety in the National Football League, and it's hard to argue that. He is a leader. He's developing into a leader on defense. He knows exactly where he's supposed to be. He's athletic enough where he can be a slot corner, which is, we played a little bit of that last year. And he's just developed into this great safety. And this is really nice to see. And it's, they developed the safeties, right? Mm-hmm. And Melon Fondu still hasn't played because of the injury. And he's coming back soon. I mean, he's practicing again. So they're going to get him back, which is nice. And then they've got, you know, another safety, the other Joseph on his team, who's also pretty good. And gotten an opportunity to play. He doesn't look terribly out of place, but the starting safeties are the best safeties in football, and that to me is very exciting because everyone complements each other in the offense. The defensive side of the ball was a big question coming into this season, specifically the secondary, to your point, but I'll narrow it to the safeties.
Okay, we were going to play the Dan Campbell sound for you. We got some technical difficulties behind the glass. Let's get. Oh, we got him. Oh, never mind. All right, we are ready to go. So, I get that people want starters out of the game. They don't want to see guys get hit. And they don't want to see guys take unnecessary shots with a team up, you know, 40-something points. Why is Penei Sewell still in there? Why is Jared Goff still in there? Why? Well, Penei Sewell was in there because they had to make a decision. Because the NFL has what I think is actually a bit of a ridiculous rule, and that you have 48 guys in uniform on game day. Because of that, there were 3 extra offensive linemen, 2 interior offensive linemen, and 1 tackle. So in that game, when they wanted to get the backups in, they had decisions to make. So the 2 interior offensive linemen went in for Frank Ragnow and Kevin Zeitler. Graham Glasgow stayed in the game. Taylor Decker came out for Dan Skipper, and they left Penei Sewell in. And there's, you know, people going, well, you can't afford to lose Penei Sewell. No, you can't. Decker's coming off an injury as well. So because the NFL only allows you to have 48 in uniform on game day, the way that game, which is, I don't.
Just stupid.
I can guarantee it's a money-saving thing about players, you know, accruing games towards their pension or something. I don't know. It's probably the collective bargaining agreement. But because of that, it's only 3 extra offensive linemen. They had to sit. They only had 1 extra tackle, so it was going to be Sewell or Decker, and Decker's coming off an injury. And so they get him out of that game. As far as Jared Goff is concerned, is he in there an extra drive or two? Remember last year, when the Detroit Lions played a meaningless game against the Minnesota Vikings at the end of the regular season, Dan Campbell had the offensive line and Jared Goff out there for 100% of the plays. If you like Dan Campbell, okay, And it's okay not to love everything that he does. It's okay to disagree with some of the stuff of what he does. But if he's going to play those guys an entire game when it doesn't matter, don't be surprised if they're playing longer than you're comfortable with when you're up and they're running out the clock. It's just part of who Dan Campbell is.
Yeah, 49-6 was the score when they took the guys out. So Hendon Hooker comes in, has a drive where they get the field goal, and then they take the knees at the last one. I mean, it felt like that they could have been taken out a lot earlier than that, but Dan Campbell had his reasons. Mm-hmm. And I guess when you hear the reasons, you can either agree or disagree with it, but it's Dan Campbell, and it's hard to question his decision-making and what he has done. But you can.
And you can.
I didn't love it that they stayed in there as long as it did. And when I heard his explanation, I didn't love the explanation either.
Well, here's his explanation. This is after the game. He brought it up twice. Once he was asked about it, or he might have just brought it up.
He was asked by Mitch Albom, and then he answered it, and then went to another question, and then midway through that other question, when he was answering that, he goes, "I want to go back," and he points back over.
All right, so here's his first answer when asked about Tinga. You know, we're in such a unique position here where we just want to freeze it. We're going to freeze everything. It's okay. This is who we want our football team to be when the games matter more. And we don't want anything to derail that. And if something's going to derail it, it feels like injuries are the most likely thing right now. There are some opponents out there. I mean, they got to play Buffalo still. They're going to be playing later in the year at San Francisco, and it's a San Francisco team that might be fighting for their playoff lives. Kansas City, if they are fortunate enough to make it to the Super Bowl, and I mean that. I mean, there's a lot of teams that go into the postseason that look really, really strong and don't get to the Super Bowl. There's still work to be done. But if injuries derail it, that's unpredictable. It's bad luck. If gearing back, if putting your foot on the brake and others catching up to you for any reason derails it, that's worse, in my opinion. So I understand Dan Campbell. I think part of what makes them who they are includes guys playing deep into games. And I think if you start taking away some of that, you might take away more than we realize. And I don't know that I want him to change too much.
I don't think I want him to change because it's been successful, but I mean, I can disagree with his reasoning on it. And, you know, I don't know if are we going to play the second part where he came back.
We are, yeah.
Okay. So I don't want to steal the thunder what he has to say there, because that's really kind of what I want to respond to. But it feels like to me, this was going to be the obvious question asked at the press conference after the game.
Yep.
This was an obvious one. And it was asked way late in the press conference, and his answer was so meandering, if you will. It was as if he was ill-prepared to answer the question, or it was the way he really wants to respond to it, he didn't do, which I don't know, maybe I'm reading into it, but it you know, because he's such a student of the game and he doesn't want to embarrass anybody, and maybe he's got real respect for Doug Peterson and all that, and he doesn't want to, you know, make it look like, okay, we're clowning on him because we're going to take our guys out, but really you're clowning on him and keeping the guys in. I'm not sure what it was, but it was just interesting that it took him a long time to answer the question. And when it's all said and done, you know, he ended up with this.
Well, we'll get to the second part of it coming up in a minute here. And more of your phone calls and feedback. Carson Anderson, 97.1 The Ticket.